May I speak and may you discern in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Amen. It has been said that there are decades when nothing happens and weeks when decades happen. As we reflect on the political events of the past couple of weeks, so much, and yet paradoxically so little has happened that it is hard to tell whether events in Parliament are static or in a state of flux. Who would deny the impasse at the heart of British politics today? A stalemate that is both chaotic and toxic. On Wednesday, the 29th of March 2017, the Prime Minister triggered Article 50 and ushered in what can best be described as a liminal period. We are in between. In other words, no longer what we were that Tuesday in 2017, the 28th of March, the day before Article 50 was triggered, nor what we will be on Friday, the 29th of March, 2019, when the United Kingdom leaves the European Union and we are transitioned into something new. If, of course, Article 50 is not delayed, deferred, or cancelled. Liminal. It's not a word that routinely comes up in conversation. Liminal comes from the Latin word limen, which means threshold. A liminal moment is a point where you leave one place and enter another. It's a place of transition. In entering liminal space, you leave behind your former ideals and conventions, the status quo, the ordinary routines, inherited mindsets. You also leave behind your safety zone. You exit your place of security. You step out into a space where you will see things differently, where your worldview might be shattered, where your existing priorities might be turned upside down. You cross a border and go beyond your usual limits. What may have been a barrier now becomes a stepping stone into a larger spiritual adventure. The liminal spaces into which Jesus leads us are places of radical unmaking and unlearning. Uncomfortable spaces where we are called to be utterly vulnerable to God and from which we will re-enter the world changed, somehow transformed. The limen is the place of departure, a springboard into a fresh way of doing things. The word liminality owes its origin to the earlier 20th century ethnographer Arnold van Jennep, who coined the term liminality to describe rites of passage as the movement, the transition from one status to another. Rites of passage found in all cultures and religions are frequently accompanied by the distinctive ceremonies such as those that mark birth or puberty, marriage or death. What they have in common is that they name and frame the space in between two states of being, between, in between two realities. The context of our Gospel reading is a wedding, a familiar rite of passage, then as now. For the bride and groom, their previous identity is dissolved and their future identity is yet to be determined. Liminal space, by its very nature, is ambiguous and disorienting, while at the same time contains potential and possibility. In liminality, there is the tension between anticipation and realization, desire and fulfillment, the now but not yet. Despite the fact that Jesus turns water into wine, the wedding at Cana is not a typical miracle. Compared with the needs of those who are desperately sick or seriously disabled, where a healing miracle might well restore opportunity and dignity, more wine for a party seems trivial, a cheap party trick. Moreover, unlike the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John calls his miracle stories signs. They are not merely supernatural events, they are significant acts. And he is highly selective in those stories he decides to include in his gospel account. There are only 7 miracles in John's gospel, far fewer than in the synoptics. So his choice of this story as the first sign Jesus does as he embarks on his ministry suggests that it does carry particular significance. What I find particularly striking is the total absence of the bride and groom. Yes, the wedding at Cana is a liminal threshold moment, but our attention is drawn not to any bride or groom, but to Jesus. His mother points out that the wine vat has run dry, and Jesus rebukes her, "Woman," rather formal, "woman, what concern is that to you and me? My hour has not yet come." Then, abruptly, his hour arrives. Water is turned into wine. The significance? In Hebrew scripture, a wedding, and for that matter, an abundance of wine, allude to that joyful expectation which accompanies the coming of the Messiah at the end of time. A Messiah who will bring the salvation of eternal life, life as it has never been known, invigorating, intense, prolific, complete. Jesus is that Messiah who brings the salvation of eternal life. What do we hear later in John's gospel? "I am come that they might have life and have it abundantly." The wedding at Cana is an epiphany, the revelation of Jesus as the liminal Messiah, the incarnate God in the liminality of being both fully divine and fully human. In his claim to be the Good Shepherd of Israel, Jesus identifies himself with Yahweh, Shepherd of Israel. The metaphor of the shepherd works well with the role of someone who identifies with the liminal underclass, the in-between, the socially reviled. Not only does Jesus as shepherd protect those who risk being consumed by a liminal world, over time, he redirects his ministry towards more liminal places. Not in the temple, not in the synagogue. This is most noticeable halfway through the synoptic gospels, when Jesus is no longer found in those places, the temple, the synagogue, but moves into the public square of the seashore, the lake, the open road, the wilderness, the mountains. This is also the moment when Jesus gathers around him people who have in common their liminality, the liminality of sickness, the liminality of being sinners, the liminality of being tax collectors. And in addition to those people society confines to the liminal, there are those who respond to his call to become liminal disciples. They are leaving a place of social identity, a place that defines and structures that identity, be it the workplace, property, the social basis for a place in the village. And what is it called? Self-denial, servanthood, the abandonment of everything. It was directed at turning the world upside down. It would be an apostleship marked by nakedness, hunger, and suffering in order to be fashioned into a new creation. It would create a community of liminal believers living together and sharing what they possessed with one another. All this suggests that if the church truly reflects Jesus Christ, its essence presupposes a disposition of liminality. Yet, the church frequently aligns itself with the rich, with the powerful. Perhaps you recall the comment of Kierkegaard: Christ turned water into wine, but the church has succeeded in doing something even more difficult. It has turned wine into water. I have no idea, and I'm sorry to disappoint, for I have no idea how our political leaders will manage and organize a solution to the national impasse in which we find ourselves. What I would argue is that a liminal church needs a different style of leadership. Not prince bishops or even bishop managers, but apostles ready to lead in lands where the old maps no longer work, faithful to the church's liminal roots, and ready to reinterpret that liminality afresh for each new generation. The church liminal, truly, authentically liminal, will transition you and me from where we are to where God calls us to be, if we are willing to step out into that place where we will see things differently, where our worldview might be shattered, where our existing priorities might be turned upside down. Of course, the question must be, do you really want to go there? Amen.